Good morning, Wake Up HCC. This is Cris Oviedo with Brendan.
Hello.
And we are this morning live here in the studio in the basement of McEwen Hall right here at Howard Community College. And we have a special guest this morning with us. His name is Roy Reeves, and he comes representing the Geneva Reeves Foundation. Did I say Geneva right?
Yes.
Okay.
Here's a brochure.
Oh, cool.
Thank you. Welcome. Excellent. Welcome, and thank you for coming in today. So, Roy is here to talk to us about the Geneva Reeves Foundation, what they do. They have a couple different things, a very clear mission as well. But before we go into that, I'd like to find out, because your last name is Reeves as well. So I would like to find out, what is your connection to the foundation?
Thank you very much, and good morning, listeners. My name is Roy Reeves. I am the son of the late Geneva Reeves Johnson. My mother was originally married to my father, and he passed away at a young age of 31.
And
and she remarried to a Johnson. So that's why, and she loved my father so much, she vowed to keep his name in there, in her name.
Okay.
It's unfortunate that it's right around this time that my father passed away, 62 years ago.
Okay. Yeah,
so I was, when he passed away, I was like unborn. I came in a few months after he passed away, so I didn't get to see him.
Wow.
Yeah. He left my mother with two boys and two girls.
Okay.
So I am representing the family and the foundation this morning, and I'm happy to share all that we have going with your listeners and you.
So let's talk a little bit more about your mom.
Okay. Yeah, my mom was from a large family. She was the second of nine children.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Six girls and three boys. And she became
philanthropist
in her own right. You know, what little she had, she shared with everybody else. She became a school teacher.
So was that something just inside of her?
Inside of her.
Okay.
And it was inside of my father also. Everybody tells me about it. Because of what he did for people, I still enjoy those things today. You know?
Okay.
He touched so many lives. And every time and I'm named after him, you see. So every time people hear the name and say, oh, I remember your dad. He was such a good guy, you know. So we all enjoy that benefit. But so my mom passed away. Well, my mom was an educator by profession, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She taught, and we are originally from Liberia, West Africa.
Okay.
So my mom, and the way the school system there is set up, they have a kindergarten. It's a separate school system. I mean, it's a separate school from elementary.
So you were born there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I was born there. I came to the U.S. in 1985.
Okay. Okay.
My mom became principal of the kindergarten school called Sarah Simpson George Kindergarten School in the port city of Buchanan, Grand Bassa County, Liberia. Okay. So she had this passion for helping people, helping children and stuff. My mom passed away in 2013, June 4th, 2013, in the Atlanta area,
mm-hmm.
where she resided with my oldest sister, Olive. And when she passed away at the funeral, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're right.
When they had a funeral for her, it was such a huge funeral. People
wow.
didn't believe that. They thought it was like a VIP that had passed away. You know, we had like five limousines, you know.
Wow.
And about eight police escorts and all that stuff. So and people stood on the side and looked, trying to figure out who this person was
right.
that passed, you know. But she was just a regular person. She was just a regular person. She touched so many lives that people came from all over the country and out of the country just to be a part of that ceremony.
So what was so special, you know, that she did that people were moved to come to her funeral? What you know, what kind of things did she do when she was here?
Well, when she was here, she came in. She came in late into the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So she came in pretty much in her retirement stages.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she, you said she touched many lives.
Yes, she touched many lives.
How did she do that?
She shared people that didn't have like food and stuff. She gave them what she had. You know, they had a program at the school that they shared food to the needed, and she was very instrumental in that, and it made a lot of people's lives a little better. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, so those were the things that she did. She people that couldn't afford back in Liberia, everybody paid school fees, even public schools. Mm-hmm. So people that didn't have the money to send the children to school, she accommodated them and took it out of her own purse and paid for them.
Wow!
Just because she saw the potential in those children. You know, she believed that the foundation of a child is the most important part of his mm-hmm. life, you know. So she believed in giving that solid foundation so that when they get older, they can build up on it. And so a lot of people have come to realize that, and people came from other areas just to send the children to the school that she principled, you know.
So where did the idea of the Geneva Reeves Johnson Foundation come from? Did she found it? Did you found it?
Yeah, we found it. The Geneva Reeves, my mom, like I said, she passed away in 2013 of the disease called Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. Okay. So originally, we thought about keeping her legacy alive by starting an Alzheimer's Foundation mm-hmm. in her memory. But and we did start it as a Alzheimer's Foundation.
Okay.
But when we met with some professionals in the area, they said, look, it's better to have a broad-based foundation where you can include other things instead of just Alzheimer's, because they have so many different Alzheimer's organizations mm-hmm. in the U.S. So we changed the name in 2015
okay.
to the Geneva Reeves Johnson Foundation.
Okay.
And the foundation helps Alzheimer's, where we don't provide, you know, care or stuff like that, but we provide education and awareness for Alzheimer's, because a lot of time people have relatives, older relatives, that have symptoms of the disease and they don't even know that. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. And that's how we got involved in the whole thing, because our mom had the Alzheimer's disease in the early stages, but we just thought she was forgetting little stuff, you know, mm-hmm. until it got to a point where she was getting lost on public transportation, didn't know where she was going, and was almost burning her apartment down where she used to live in Tacoma Park originally. Mm. And then, so then we had to get together, the siblings, her children got together to do something about it. And then we started seeing the progression of the disease, the progression. But very fortunately, my mom was not violent with her Alzheimer's. You know, she was very calm. Like, that's her nature, her calm nature. Mm-hmm. So she was very calm with the disease. She still recognized everybody, even when you called her on the phone. She knew exactly who you were, you know. But she couldn't remember day to day stuff, like what day it was, what time of the day, if she ate, or even had a shower. She wouldn't remember those things. And she was an active person, and to see her just deteriorate to the extent that she didn't want to do anything but just lie down, and mm. you know.
That's going to be difficult, yeah.
Very difficult.
Absolutely, very absolutely. Difficult. So, you know, you're kind of describing what your experience with Alzheimer's was like, right? Mm-hmm. But for those listeners who may not know, as you said, people maybe don't know what Alzheimer's is, and mm-hmm. part of your foundation is to educate people. Can we maybe do a little bit of that education right now and tell people what Alzheimer's is?
Yes. Well, Alzheimer's is a disorder of the brain. Okay, and they still haven't found a cure for it, which they are still doing research on today. But there are certain cells in the brain that, if they're not functioning right, mm-hmm. will cause that, it will trickle in. And what happened is, what to look for in Alzheimer's is mm-hmm. little things at first, like forgetting to do basic routine stuff, you know. Remembering only things from way back, you know, early years, and not remembering stuff from recent times. Those are symptoms to look for.
So it affects your short memory?
Yes.
It affects, okay.
Yes,
okay.
It does, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I realize is that it's not a painful disease where people are in constant pain like cancer or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in any kind of pain. It's just that you're losing everything that you have, you know, and it's pathetic to see your loved one just, I mean, at one point my mom didn't even know it was me when I went over, you know. My sister is a nurse. She's retired now, but she had to quit her full-time job and only work on the weekends just to take care of her mom because she was not comfortable having her mom go into a care facility, you know. She felt that she could provide the best care for her mom. And so at one point in time, when she goes to work on the weekend, I would go in and take care of mom while she worked on the weekend. And it worked pretty well with us.
So you said it's not painful for the person suffering the Alzheimer's, but they start forgetting things. Are there any other symptoms? Any other things to look for?
Yes. It reacts differently to different people.
Okay.
So some people become a little irritated over everything. Mm. They're beginning to get violent and stuff. You know, things that you try to tell them for their own benefit, they reject it. You know, all kinds of, those are signs of dementia and Alzheimer's, you know.
So dementia is more of an umbrella term.
Yes, it's more like an umbrella term, yeah.
And then you lived this experience. So from the family side, you know, because we've talked about the person and some of the symptoms maybe to look for, determine whether somebody has dementia or not. But how about the family? I mean, what kind of challenges does this bring for the family? What does this feel like, you know, being in your case, like the son of somebody who had Alzheimer's? What was it like for you?
Well, it was very challenging because when you had to, like, put your life a little bit on hold to help that person. And some people are not fortunate to have the kind of support our mother had, you know. So that's why we try to educate people that, hey, this thing is not a one-man show. It's a community thing. It's a family thing. It's a group thing, you know. And everybody has to chip in, you know. If you have a day or so, come in and help. If you have a weekend, come in and help. You know, you cannot... I've seen a lot of families that had it, and everything is burdened on down on one child or one sibling. You know? So that's one of the key things we try to tell people, that the need to put effort together, community effort.
So one of the things here that I see that you guys have under your foundation is you have support services.
Yes.
So what are those support services?
The support services, this is in rare cases where we see people really desperate, family, we get outside help to go and help them, you know, like for instance, your mother or father had the only child, and you are bogged down in your job. You can't take off your job just to help that. So we send in help in that case, and we pay for the services to monitor the person, to feed them, and to do other activities with them. Because what we realize about the disease is that it is a disease that you have to engage the person. Don't let them be idle. You see, idleness brings worse in the condition.
Mm.
You see, you have to engage them. You see,
and don't keep them from living their everyday life. Try to facilitate that.
Yes, exactly.
So you got to stay with them and just continue to help them
as much as possible.
As much as possible. Yeah. Another thing that you say here that you guys do is scholarships. You offer scholarships. Can you explain that a little more?
Yes, we haven't. Yeah, this is one of our plans, but we haven't realized that because our funding dropped a lot. And that's why I was telling you we're going through a transition right now.
Mm-hmm.
You see? We have intended to offer scholarships to students seniors in high schools around the area that were looking forward to enter the healthcare field.
Okay.
We're going to give them scholarship for at least $1,000
each,
and help them go on to school and do something and work in that field. But that part of our program hasn't materialized yet. You know?
Okay.
Because it's so bogged. We are so bogged down with other things, the medical things. It kind of takes away from what we really want to do.
So tell us a little more about what you guys have going on right now. What you guys are actively doing?
Yeah, we have like I said, we have the awareness and support for Alzheimer's patients going. Mm-hmm. And we also have, we because she's originally from Liberia, we have a program going in Liberia that helps young people over there too. You see, our intention is to build a school starting at the elementary level and up to high school in her memory, in her hometown, and equip it fully. And
that's a beautiful
and name it in her idea. Honor, you know. So, but that is a long shot right now. It's a long shot. But what are we doing right now in Liberia? We have a branch of the organization in the city of Ikenna where she spent a lot of her adult life. And a church, we're working through a church called the Thankful Baptist Church that she was an active part of. And they have a program, two programs in there. They called the Royal Ambassadors for Boys and the Girls Auxiliary for Girls. Mm-hmm. These programs help wayward children off the, keep them off the street by engaging them in the activities, community services, and leadership training, and you know, good stewardship examples to discourage other children from getting involved in drugs and you know prostitution for the females and all those kind of things. So we engage in a lot of activities and we support it fully from here. And it's help. We also had a feeding program for we call it Feed the Homeless, or feed we say Feed the Homeless. But we realized that program was not achieving the intended purpose, so we kind of scaled back on that.
Okay.
Because you see, when you're feeding people, people spread the news. Oh, today they are feeding at this church, and everybody comes, but it doesn't change their lives. You see, they go right back into drugs. They go right back into things that we're doing, until it's time for food, then they come back. You know, so we said, no, we can't. We want to see results. You see, we are results oriented.
Okay.
So that's what we are all about. You see, so we have a very skeleton staff. We have a very skeleton staff. Outside support, we pay for those services. Mm-hmm. You know, but the staff is, we are located at 10430 Shaker Drive, above the Dunkin' Donuts in Columbia.
So where does your funding come from?
Our funding comes from, you know, we have a website and people donate through the donate button over there, through PayPal. And we have funding from several people that help us do a lot of funding organizations. Well, you see, they prefer not to be publicized because they don't want to be bogged down with these other organizations asking for help, you know.
I understand.
They saw the compassion in what we're doing, and they said, look, we help if you choose to remain, keep us anonymous. Okay.
So if people wanted to donate and they feel strongly about the cause, they could just go to your website?
Yeah, you could just go to our website or send a check in the mail. We have an address on there.
Can we remind everybody on the website address?
Yes, it is grjfoundation.org.
Okay, so grjfoundation.org.
Yes.
I'm really curious about something. So you guys are working in Liberia, and are you guys also helping with people with dementia there, or is it more of like the school and what you were saying?
No, it's more on the support and education side in Liberia. Yes.
Is that, and this question comes from, I'm from Ecuador originally.
Oh, okay.
And you know, in Ecuador, mental health is not necessarily as widely looked at and, you know, spoken openly about like it is here in the United States. Do you find the same in Liberia? Is that why you guys are not doing more with dementia there? Or is it not? Now, there's also true in Ecuador that some of the mental health issues are not as prevalent in Ecuador. So maybe that's part of reason, you know, also why we don't talk so much about it. I'm just curious to know if there's like a cultural break as well in Liberia.
Yeah, it is definitely the government does not have. The government does not put too much emphasis on mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So the nature of people is that what you see the big organization do is what you follow. The government does not put in the effort. If you start something on mental health, you'll be overwhelmed. You know, everybody will come to you.
Mm-hmm. So there's a need.
There's a need, and there's a great need. There's a great need. I cannot emphasize that enough. There is a great need for mental health support.
But the services are not being offered. And do you think that that's just because it and you know, I'm this is something that I've tried to figure out myself as well, because it's not that it's not happening, right? It's not that it doesn't happen in Ecuador. It's not that it doesn't happen in Liberia, right?
You're right.
But we, I mean, I don't know, are we just incredulous? Are we just not believing it? Are we just, I mean, what do you think it is that, that does not allow, you know, like government to back down, you know, back up this type of ideas, or just the community itself? Why are we so sold on the idea that we are strong and that we can do it when, you know, there's other issues, other, you know, inside of yourself, right? Like you were saying, this is a disorder in the brain. It's not something that you can just say, I'm just going to work through this, right? And I'm going to be okay.
Right.
So why is it that, you know, in countries like ours, where we come from, we just don't take it so seriously, I guess?
Well, I can't speak for other countries, but I know about Liberia. We did a lot better. We did a lot better with it, with mental health and stuff like that before, but you know, we went through a civil war of 14 years.
Okay.
So that threw everything behind, you know.
Okay.
We had military government coming that just were after self enrichment and stuff like that. And even the civilian government that took over, they didn't pay much attention because so much had been destroyed in the war. It was a senseless civil war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a civil war that you don't know the enemies. You see, you're fighting them on people that it could be your brother, he could be on the other side.
Yeah,
you see, and yeah. So that's why the war dragged on for so long.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so now after the war, and when we had government come in, the first really elected government, I mean, democratically elected government, was the first female president of Africa, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who served for 12 years. And she has ended her term. So during that time, there was so much other things government put the emphasis on, you know, like rebuilding roads, rebuilding medical facilities. And then what made it worse in Liberia was, if you recall, a few years ago, we had an Ebola outbreak.
Right.
That devastated so many lives, yeah.
Right. So there is awareness, but it's just that there's other issues that take over.
Yes.
Understand. Yes. Okay. Yes. So, I want to go to this pamphlet that you brought us here today, and there's something here that I think everybody would find very helpful, and it's the 5 tips to talking, for talking to someone with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
So can you tell us what those 5 tips are?
Well, I don't have it right in front of me, but okay, all right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay. Yes. Well, the first one is diminish distractions, banished background noise. You see, people that have symptoms of the Alzheimer's disease, they get irritated very easily with things like loud music and too much talking and stuff. They don't want to be a part of that. You see, they don't talk much. They kind of, even if they were a talkative person before, they kind of relax and want to be by themselves, you know.
Okay, so eliminating distractions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
The second one is the more they talk to other people, the more people come and talk to them, the more it disturbs them. It bothers them a lot. It bothers them. They want to be lone rangers, kind of.
But we want to give them space, or we want to talk
to them? No, we want to engage them.
Okay.
We want to engage them. We want to engage them because if we don't engage them, it worsens the situation. Okay?
Okay. Okay, but converse one-on-one, not in groups. Okay.
No, not in group.
One-on-one.
One-on-one, yeah. It works better that way.
Okay, great.
They are more receptive to a one-on-one thing than a group thing. You see, if you have 2 or 3 persons talking at the same time, they get confused and they might walk away, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but the third thing is don't bog them down with long talking. Make it short, simple, and stick to points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so keeping it simple helps.
Yes, it helps a lot. And then don't argue with them. It's another tip.
Yeah.
Do not argue. They don't like argument. It bothers them a lot. And then just and the last one is just to keep talking. Even if they don't respond, just keep talking to them. Mm-hmm. They are listening. They may not respond, but it's sinking in. So just keep talking to them, and that helps a lot. Okay.
Okay. Those great. When you were with your mom, mm-hmm. What did you find was the most helpful, you know, thing to be able to like interact with her, other than these five tips, or was it one of this? Was there one specific thing that you found that worked really, really well to communicate with your mom that she reacted to really well?
Well, yeah. Well, one thing my mom liked in her lifetime was music. Mm. Okay. So I would bring CDs of some of her favorite music, and I would start playing it around her. I said, "Mom, you remember this song?" And she was like, "Yeah, I remember that." And she started telling me about it. Mm. And that's how I engaged her, you know. And then we started singing it and all that. And some of the times she would forget some of the words, but I would just bring it up, you know. Yeah, so that's what I did. Personally.
Mm-hmm. So what could you, just to wrap up our conversation, we're running out of time on our stream. What could you tell, you know, people out there who maybe have a relative, who have a family member who has dementia? What could you tell them? Or somebody who might think that maybe they have dementia, what could you tell? What could you tell them? Which message can you leave them with?
Well, I would tell them to engage other family members for assistance. You can't do it by yourself.
Okay.
You know, no matter how strong you think you are, you cannot do it by yourself, because the more it progresses, the worse it becomes. Mm. So it becomes very burdensome. It wears you down, and you don't want that to happen to you. You see, you don't want that to happen to you. So if you can reach out to other people, extended family, friends, and all that. Everybody have church members, you know, for religious people. All of that helps, you see. All of that helps. That's the one advice I would give to them.
Okay. Is there anything else you would like us to talk about before we close our conversation on the stream? We'll stay on Facebook after that, real quick.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just go to our website and $5, $10, anything we do, okay? And we are a 501c3 organization, so you get a tax write-off on that. So don't be afraid to donate.
So make sure to go to grjfoundation.org. Support the Geneva Reeves Johnson Foundation. Roy, you have an amazing story. Thank you for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Stay tuned. We have more music. And if you want to continue this conversation, just tune in on Facebook. Find us under Dragon Digital Radio. Have a good Wednesday. Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.